An Iran-backed Houthi missile attack leads to the first casualties of the Red Sea conflict. How did U.S. officials respond to the news? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
I think that it was sadly inevitable. The Houthis have continued to launch these reckless attacks with no regard for the well-being of innocent civilians who are transiting through the Red Sea, and now they have unfortunately and tragically killed innocent civilians.
Also, the New York National Guard is being sent to New York City's subway system to help crack down on crime. What does this all mean for our defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Hey listeners, so later tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, President Joe Biden will deliver what could be his last State of the Union address. My better half, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and I will have a special episode on the topic tomorrow, so stay tuned. First up, a missile attack by Yemen's Houthi rebels on a commercial ship in the Gulf of Aden killed two of its crew members. Survivors were forced to abandon the vessel on Wednesday. It marks the first fatal strike by the Iranian-backed group as it retaliates for Israel's war on Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The attack on a Barbados-flagged bulk carrier is the latest disruption to the crucial trade route that links Asia and the Middle East to Europe. The Houthis have launched attacks since November, and the U.S. began an airstrike campaign against them in January. Officials said men claiming to be the Yemeni military hailed the ship. Two U.S. officials told the Associated Press that the anti-ship ballistic missile attack killed two of the crew members on board and wounded six others. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller confirmed the loss of life at a briefing with reporters.
And so the United States will continue to hold the Houthis accountable for their attacks, which have not just disrupted international commerce, not just disrupted the freedom of navigation in international waters, and not just endangered seafarers, but now tragically killed a number of them. So we will continue to hold them accountable, and we call on governments around the world to do the same.
A U.S. warship and the Indian Navy were on the scene to assist in the rescue efforts. Here's why it matters. Houthi rebels have remained capable of launching significant attacks despite more than a month of U.S. airstrikes. A separate Houthi assault Tuesday targeted the USS Kearney, a destroyer that has been involved in the American campaign against the rebels. U.S. Central Command said that the Kearney shot down bomb-carrying drones and one anti-ship ballistic missile. The U.S. later launched an airstrike destroying three anti-ship missiles and three bomb-carrying drone boats. Another important story, New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced plans Wednesday to send the National Guard to the New York City subway system. It's part of a plan to help police search passengers' bags for weapons after a series of crimes on city trains. Hochul said she will deploy 750 members of the National Guard to the subways to assist the New York Police Department with bag searches at entrances to busy train stations.
I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transit stations.
The move is part of a larger effort from the governor to address crime in the subway. One of the proposals includes banning people from trains if they are convicted of assaulting a subway passenger and installing cameras in conductor cabins to protect transit workers. Here's why it matters. While crime has dropped in New York City and killings are down on the subway system, rare fatal shootings and shovings on the subway can put residents on edge. Just last week, a passenger slashed a subway conductor in the neck. Police in New York have long conducted random bag checks at subway entrances, though passengers are free to refuse and leave the station. That has raised questions about just how effective the searches are on a public transit system serving 3 million riders a day. Also on your radar for today, veterans advocates are making another push in Congress to move a long-stalled benefits fix. For more on this, Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins the episode. So Leo, veterans advocates are saying that there is a pretty big problem with how veterans benefits are distributed. What are they saying is the problem?
Yeah, these veterans groups are pushing for a bill called the Major Richard Starr Act. And it has to do, as you said, with just how veterans benefits are treated when we're talking about the whole array of different federal benefits you get. If you're a veteran who was forced to retire because of a military injury, you get your full disability retirement payout and you get disability benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs. It's two separate buckets of money and you get all of that. But if you're a veteran who is less than 50% disabled, rated less than 50%, disabled. The way the federal government calculates it, they say that it's the same pot of money. So they don't give you the veteran's disability. They'll give you the military retirement or they'll give you one, but they say that you've got to offset both. So if you're somebody who would get, say, $1,000 from military retirement, but $500 from veteran's disability, you don't get that $500. That's money that the federal government says you're not eligible for. And for a lot of veterans, this adds up very quickly. It can be, you know, as much as $50,000 a year, $50,000 over the course of 5 years, and you know, $100,000 after 10 years. I mean, this really can add up to a lot of lost money for folks who are, you know, not trying to get a ton of money out of the government, but really trying to get what they deserve for being injured while they were serving.
And with any legislation that's introduced, of course, it has to make it through the Hill first. What are the chances that this legislation gets passed in Congress?
Veterans groups have been pushing for this for the last few years, and they're optimistic that something will move this year. They're saying that behind closed doors, they're hearing more support from lawmakers, that this could get attached to the annual defense authorization bill this year, which is must-pass legislation that has gotten through for the last 60 years. But, you know, until we see it pass, who knows if it can pass? I mean, Congress just isn't passing a lot. There are some lawmakers who oppose this because it would cost about $10 billion over 10 years, which is not an insignificant amount of money to try and carve out of the federal budget. And there's just, you know, there's just a problem with a lot of promises that haven't been fulfilled here. This did pass out of the House Armed Services Committee last year. There are more than 70 co-sponsors in the Senate, but right now that doesn't translate into any actual movement. So the rally this week from veterans groups is really designed to try and put some spark into this, try to get some urgency into this, and hopefully move this along for the first time.
And now, here's some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. A man who crashed a snowmobile into a parked Black Hawk helicopter is suing the government for $9.5 million. Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Joanne Bass, said this week the Air Force will likely pick its first cohort of enlisted troops to start the process of becoming warrant officers this summer. And the Washington Post reported that a Russian missile strike appeared yesterday to target Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. It landed near his motorcade in the Black Sea port city of Odessa, where he was meeting with the Greek Prime Minister. And on this day in history in 2010, Kathryn Bigelow became the first woman to win an Academy Award for Best Director. That was for her movie, The Hurt Locker, about an American bomb squad that disables explosives in Iraq. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by the Associated Press and Leo Shane III. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruce. Have a great day.